whether you're sitting or standing, just kind of raise those arms up about half mast. And again, I found out He loves worship that comes from your heart. Sometimes when I go into the closet, I don't go in with a list. I don't need one. I'm trying to convince Him to answer my prayer. I come in like this. I know the reason that you do things for me is because you love me. You don't need another reason. You don't need another reason. I know this. So I love you. And I know that you love me. You sent Jesus. So if you want gold, gold is those words that originate in your heart. And you want to express to Him, you know, how much you love Him. And you can do that in a public assembly. Just raise those hands. Get a little higher. Hey, won't you go ahead for a minute? Go ahead. Oh, Father God, I worship you and glorify and magnify, exalt, extol, lift you up, exalt, lift you up, honor you, magnify with all my heart. I thank you and glorify you that when we fell, you came in after us. There was no other way. You came in after us and died in our place. What can we say? I glorify and magnify and exalt you. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, if you can open that vein, your needs will be over. They'll be over. Because He's not the one trying not to get in. He's trying to get in. You register yourself with Him based on the grace of what He did, not what you run around and do. Come on! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I magnify and glorify. Hallelujah. So sitting or standing, give Him a little more of that worship. When I went to Oklahoma City to see a passion play, I wanted to know from God what it would take to get the anointing into it. And He told me, if you go home and worship me all night, you'll find out. Did I? No. A year later, I did. See, we want to be used. See, it's not that He's holding that place back. He's not. But it's a place we go to. Not with our head. With our heart. I struggled through lots of those hours. It fell out under the power on the floor. And I said, well, I'll make it. I overcommitted, I'm sure. But that's what you do when you're in the Spirit. I'm going to worship 4 to 6 hours a day. Oh, God. Getting through the first four. My words were falling like spatulate hot cakes on the floor. And I'd throw them back up to heaven. And I finally read a little book. It said, you're not breaking through. The book said, you're not getting through. I'm going, huh. That I wouldn't stop whether I was getting through or not. That's when I finally opened heaven up and showed me. Spoke to me. This was about His power. It's about not staying where you're at. Not as far as His power is concerned. I saw the heaven. the angels were rejoicing. I mean, oh, it wasn't rejoicing because I was jumping up and down and rejoicing. They were rejoicing because when my hands were made out of lead and hell was stacked on my mind, they were rejoicing because I wouldn't stop. So what happens? You go there. That's what happens. Very gently again. You can be seated, people. Don't go. He makes a stand. Don't do it. Stop, stop. A little more. It's funny. I could see through everybody and see your hands. Isn't that funny? It's because they were glowing like little lights. Why don't you come up here for a minute? He didn't go on and translate for me what those glowing hands meant, so I'll take the traditional. I'll just take the traditional meaning. It means they'll flow abundantly in the gifts of healings. You know, the workings of miracles, you know. God, sometimes we think he should give stuff to people that look like they were diligent and stuff. But some of them were like, I did it myself a little bit one time. You want to make a play for, you want people to notice, you know, so you kind of make a public play for he's using my hands and my, but that's not what does it. Like anything else, it's a place in the heart. You go there. It's okay. That means what he gave you, you're going to give to other people. Oh no, I hope I'm not prophesying her away from the prayer center out on the field 24/7. We got enough of you out there changing the world. We need a congregation. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm glad you went here today. I'm glad that you went here today and was able to impart something. I looked like that when I was trying to dance in the spirit one time. I never could quite get the. I was stiff as a board. I wore tennis shoes to my prom. I did. It was that or work boots. I quasselati, Tomaso da tela quasesi, e no magalenti oba. It was so necessary for the gatherings of the early church. He said, for this is when they were fed. For the teachers would come and the prophets would have what to say. And they carried home with them what they received. The indication was that he was leaning over towards, but we have 66 old and new canon of the scripture in our laps, that when we get through listening to you, we can take it home and look it over and look it over and prove it. So more than anything else in the early church and their gatherings, it was necessary to increase just in knowledge that they didn't know or couldn't go turn to it to find out how good they were doing. See, So when we gather together like this, He takes advantage of it. And that's the time when He can come in and move. And you must believe that He has an agenda. He doesn't want sick people to leave the same way they came in. He doesn't want demon-possessed people to leave the same way they come in. He doesn't want defeated people to leave the same way they came in. So when we gathered together, when Paul taught on it, he taught order. You had to. I can imagine with no guidelines how things could get really, really wild. But it doesn't mean that any kind of service he's ever had that he can't go and have it. And have it now. See, his priority isn't church. His priority is what the church is really made out of, which is you. His priority is he did what he did for you. In your place, he bore sicknesses, carried your pains. Chastisement for our lack of peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. I know we usually quote that for healing of body. But actually Deuteronomy 25 says if there's a striving, a controversy between two men, they're brought up before a righteous judge, he condemns the one. And he receives stripes up to 39 or 40, save one, according to the man's fault. So those lashes were given because of controversy and strife. And it's funny. When the epistles mentioned it, he described Jesus as he stood before a righteous judge and he had no guile in his mouth. No guile. Who bore our sins and his body in the tree, by whose stripes we were healed. So isn't it something that he had no guile in his mouth, but it was his mouth that was substituted for us. It was perfect so that he could die in our place. So when he says this, you know, surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him smitten, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and then the chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him. With his stripes, we were healed. I found out I don't have to hurt anybody. You don't either. When we did that teaching on Luke 6:38, when giving it shall be given to you, heaped down, pressed together, shaken together, running over, will he cause men to give unto your bosom? Leaving it in context, it was he's building the house on doing his sayings, and the sayings were, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them despitefully use you. He'll slap your face off. Turn the other side. They steal your goods. Give them to them and don't ask them back again. Well, you don't have to go too many more verses to get to 38, which is in the same context. What he's promising you is you don't condemn, and the devil can't find nothing in you to condemn you. You forgive. He can't find a hold in you for destruction anywhere. And whatever that sinner cost to hold Jesus' blood up before him, whatever it cost you, this is his promise. I'll heap it down. I'll press it together. I'll run it over and I'll give it back. Because this is what he's about. You. Not how big an offering we can generate through giving. This is what he's after, see. He's you. So I prayed prosperity through. Gosh, coming from a faith background, sure knew a lot about it. Miracle Wallets, and You know, that's a pretty good deal. You give him $1,000, you get $100 back. Wouldn't that be a good deal? $100,000? Oh, my goodness. What a deal. But I figured out how the preacher can solve his problem. Let him give the $100, and then he will get $100,000 for his ministry. He won't have to ask us. Isn't that lightning quick? I found out there's two things that affect money. But I wish I could read the chapters. Two things. It's how you treat the little ones. How you treat the little ones. And two, what do you really use the money for? Are you going to be exalted in this thing, or is he? When he finally had to get blunt and to the point with me, he said, "Oh, you think you can destroy a little one and then turn around and ask me for a bunch of money to get some saved? You're on the wrong page, boy." On the wrong page. Whew. Well, we're going somewhere. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa's in revival.
Well, you don't see it.
Hey, to have a raging revival here that'll affect clear up to the realms of government. Obviously, we're going to have to do something that's not been done. So if we're going to go somewhere we haven't been, we're going to have to do something that hasn't been done. So don't think it's strange, the challenge that's set before us in the Spirit. But one thing we have found out how to do is edify ourselves. If you're praying in tongues, he that searches the heart, that's mine, knows what's the mind and plan of God for who? Me. Makes intercession then for me according to that will. Then I can know all things will work together for the good of them who love God and call according to his... He's out. Purpose. Here. Here. Lend me your ear. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Te alosi. For you that know me, you know that sometimes I'm ready to go into my own speech and I open my mouth and I'm speaking in tongues again, which obligates me to interpret it. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. In your time, he said, in your time, in your timing, he said, you'll have great joy. For there's no other way to go to what I prepared for you than to go by way of the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't be dismayed when the times of change is eating up time. That how I do this, it must be done in such a way that it'll be so established on my foundation, an unmoving, solid fortress of revival, that you'll see the harvest I prepared you for many years to come. So don't faint along the way. Pick yourself up and be strong. You'll find out when you're strong for me, I'll be strong for you. And many things you were desiring more than me will come to pass when I become more than they are in your life. Woo! Well, I like it when the Holy Ghost sneaks up with one like that. Hallelujah. Whew. Goodness. A couple of times the Lord used me in judgment. People were tearing down the foundation and literally destroying it. I mean, literally destroying. And I was so shocked. In fact, I had to turn the car back around and come and speak the judgment. And the second time, I don't talk about that anymore because of who it was. But after the last one was done, it came to pass. I told the Lord, basically, if I can, I don't really want to do that anymore. Do you know what qualified it? What'd Paul do on the island? Because that was a witch doctor. What did he do in the church in the explosion of revival? You know what qualifies an anointing like that? Are you ready? The thing that qualifies it is the mercy that rejoices against judgment. Do you have the mercy that rejoices against it, hates it? You're not qualified to be used to it. But he didn't do it anymore after that second time when I asked. When maybe I can translate those scriptures more through the love of God, I can go back. For you that are wondering what kind of service that this is, tell me when. When is it? Can I get those things over to the body of Christ? When I can't get these things over in the organization of man. For these things must be. So don't be alarmed. Be patient. The times are not staying the same. Nor do I leave you the same when the times change. So be strong and continue forward in me. Because revival has many fronts for me to penetrate. All that I can penetrate, you must be led by my Spirit in all areas, says the Lord. If he wants me to get into that again, I think I'll have a lot more grace then. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, is there any pain in the service? Why don't you stand up where you're at? I'm going to preach 4 more hours and there's no use of you being in pain. So if you have pain anywhere in your body that's hurting you right now, stand up where you're at. Yes, sir. How many knows when God will be at the fullness of revival and things, it'll be awfully hard to lay hands on a million people hanging around Tulsa. Don't you just love him? So we know, I've seen him do this many times. I think with the elders, when he said, if any be sick among you, then call for the elders. It sounded like the guy was at home. Hallelujah, Jesus. Rest of you, set yourself in agreement with us. Father, I speak your miracle working power here. I want to thank you with all my heart for. And Father, this is my 37th year of ministry. And I still can't help but thank you with all my heart for what you've done. In particular, in this case, when you bear their sicknesses and carried you, their pains, that you stopped the pain and the suffering. He said to me, for I'm teaching you to operate more out of my love than out of a format. Father, in Jesus' name now, I thank you that the pain is leaving. And why? Because you love them. And because you can. In Jesus' name, pain, you go. Now. Now. You can't stay. In Jesus' name. Okay. Go ahead and check yourself out. Twist, gouge, poke. Slap the person next to you. See if it hurts your arm. You know? Bend over. Every word that's said in tongues has a translation. You do know that. In a public assembly, unless we've gathered for the specific reason to pray. In tongues. How stay that Tom Hakalichabo to his kissy? Don't ask for, as I said, now say again. Oh, how can I translate? For as I said before, my desire is for you to know my mind, but to know my mind for the present time, for this church, and for Tulsa. This is my desire. So when I take the service for tongues of the interpretation or prophesying, I do so so that you'll understand where I stand and what my desire and is in my heart and my mind for you, saith the Lord. For this place will come to that place that I have for you. Therefore,
Think it not strange when I speak much through tongues in those times when I have those who are mine prophesy. Let me explain the simple gift of prophecy a little bit. We kind of think it's the one where you get over people, or like when you interpret a tongue in the crowd, but when you prophesy there's no tongue, you yell, yeah, thus saith the Lord. And then you take off. But how does he do that when I'm walking up front and that I'm teaching? When he said, let the prophets speak one by one, but let them wait on the other. Here they are, sitting on a word God has given them, and they can sit on it until it's their turn. Isn't that something that wasn't just spontaneous? Sometimes when I was teaching, I noticed an anointing come that superseded the one I was under when I was breaking the scripture down by my examples, by what I knew about it. And suddenly, the anointing would change, and at first, I thought that I just got under such an anointing that I was just really teaching real good. I wanted to step out of my body and listen to myself. Cooperate. But then I found out what he was saying, and it seemed like it was teaching, but it wasn't. But it did include his mind for now, what he wanted for us, and in particular what he was setting up for us to believe so we could take the next step into faith and ultimately all that he's called us to. So that can be all studied out in Romans. I'm not telling you something I don't know. When Paul said, I speak according to the grace that's given to me, that is his apostleship, to those that are among you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think soberly according to God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, we've all been trying to figure out what that measure is.
Well, a measure is part of, it's the measure. Well, I have, when I was born again, I got the measure of faith.
I was trying to figure out what it is. But when Paul said, I speak according to grace that was given to me, that was his apostolic office. Did he give it to himself? No. So he said, you ought not think of yourself more highly. Did you call yourself? No. Did you give your office to yourself? No. God's given to every man the measure of faith. And when I was going around in faith, everybody's trying to figure out, what is the measure of faith? Oh, I got a drastic hint. One day the Holy Spirit spoke to me, this is so deep you might not get it for 15 minutes. He says, a measure is the measure. They all talking about the measure of faith. The measure. It is a, come on, say it. It's a measure. I learned this in the third grade. The measure. It's part of a whole. I got it. So Paul has said, I didn't earn my office. Not only was the grace of it given to me, so why do you want to think of yourself like you did something? For God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not only did he separate you to your office and your calling by grace, but he gave you the measure of faith you need to walk your calling out, not mine. Oh, if you're called to be evangelist, and guess what? That measure has all that power, all that stuff in it. Wait a minute. Casey. So then he goes down in the chapter and says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. See? Differing. Well, the measure of faith that he's called my office to is all that I need to fill my office. when I stand before him, I'm not going to be able to say,
I didn't, you know, you didn't heal anybody. I didn't have the money to go.
I can't say that. For along with my call, he separated the measure that made me the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear. A many-membered body called the body of Christ. I have the measure to do what a hand does, if that's what I was called. Did you hear about that woman's ear that filed a charge against her eyes? Said, here I am in the body of Christ, and what do you do with me?
You hang things on me and cover me up in your hair. And when my husband whispers sweet little nothings, he goes, you're nothing.
I thought that was funny. The ear was prophesying to the eye. Said,
and look what they do with their eyes. Make the lashes longer and blink them real good. And they even use them to communicate.
Oh, well, would you go out with me?
No.
The ears, I got somewhere against the eye. Hide me under the hair. Hang things on me. I want to be like the eye. You're the ear. But you play as an important role in the body of Christ as the eye does. How would you like not to have your feet after a between the toe and toenail inspection? How'd you like that? What part of your body would you like to sacrifice? All the measures are working together to make one whole. A devil stomping, mountain moving body called the body of Christ. Amen. Just because people won't do their part or not taught to do it, taught wrong, deception, all that. We find our call. Doesn't excuse us. Doesn't excuse us not to even not find our call. Much less to fill it when we find it. I have the measure for mine. I'm going there. But so do you. Yeah, boy, see that. Hey. If you had, we prayed for you for pain, checked yourself out. You don't have any. It left you. Should I say this way? When it left you, stand back up. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Okay, yes, get us. Stay standing for a minute. Hey, is the rest of the praying we're going to do going to work good as this? What are we going to be praying for? What is it that you need? I know one thing we're usually short of. Some things belong to him. And all the glory is one of those things. Hallelujah! So let's give him the glory for healing them and for giving us our measure, making it possible. For us to do what he's called us to do. Oh, Jesus. No solo cohesia. You know, if you wasn't gonna just tear things up where you come from, you probably wouldn't be here. But since you're gonna tear them up, you're here. I thank God for the day that he sent me into a service where there was miracles. And I knew they were for us then. Well, he knows what you're going to do. You're going to tear it up. That's why you're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, if you need anything, since you're up celebrating somebody else getting something, what are you?
I need a job.
Tell him. He'll make room for you. Can he get you a job? If you need a job, tell him. You believing for something, tell him. I'd love it when we go after your lost loved ones, because I really got into that and I found out how to turn them over. But whatever you need, go ahead and tell him. He said, for when I come with a great delight. I come desiring to fulfill the slightest, smallest of your needs. I come to move not only in fellowship with you, but if I can do anything for you. So don't let the devil build a case against you and convince you that what I have is not for you unless you change and go through this list and that list of how and what you have to do. All those victories were purchased for you on the cross. And if you'll come by way of me, they'll get done a lot faster than in your own strength. So turn them over to me and let me move for you, saith the Lord. For my desire is that kind of fellowship. Hallelujah. I was listening to a preacher and he says God just sets up things where it hurts you real bad so he can come in and fellowship with you on the hurt. As I felt like that, oh, shut up. Television did have a knob on it. Hallelujah.
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 But I waited a little bit and then they went on to say there's going to be a great revival in the last days. It's his timing. And I thought, why? What, did he have a headache during the dark ages and just let him go to hell? And I decided to move in these last days. Why, did you have a headache or something? My relatives went to hell because you didn't feel like moving. I can hold something against you. He's done every revival he ever could get in here. Ever since the cross. Come on, Jesus. So you think that whatever your need is, it's going to bog him down? I don't think so. If he could be disappointed, he would be. If you don't let him. And don't you hate it if you have grandkids and you want to pick one up and they run? Well, welcome to the Hurt Club. Quit running. Was I this wild in Oregon? Worse. Oh my gosh. There's somebody over there that was a kid in Oregon in the church. But on the other side. You know about it? Oh. You do? Oh. Okay, lift your hands. Father, I'm so delighted and full of praise and thanksgiving, Father, because see, I know when I step this far out of religion, I know, Father, they're not going to leave. and not have something happen. This is what makes me so happy. I know this, Father. To every person whose heart communed with you over a need. I want to thank you. He come from forever and he's on his way to forever. He stopped and picked us up along the way. You think you don't matter to him? How long do you think forever is? He never gets to the end of it. You won't either. So what's he delighted over? He's over. He's delighted in the times that he gets to move for you and spend with you. I mean, why are you here? I'd hate to make a journey like that by myself. If God really is love, if he's love, does love just love itself? That sounds self-conceited. But how could he be love and not have anybody to love? That's why he came from forever, then snagged you. And he's on his way to forever. He wants to do something for you. It's part of his fellowship. Father, your healing power is flowing here, amongst other things. Oh, she said, be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Now. Now. Yes. He got you. So, Father, as you healed this woman, every person here standing, not just for fear, not just for healing, but the requests and the scriptural requests that they've petitioned you for in this service. Thank you that they can't leave, that you haven't left before them. And you're working it out. In Jesus' name. Okay. You can be seated. Show you my scriptures I have marked out, and I have a circle around the number of the scripture. I circle it and say, do you have notes in your Bible? Not really, because the scriptures are my notes. And I have a dot next to it, and I call it .com. When I taught me how to meditate, that's what a scripture became, was part of the whole. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, meaning faith comes by hearing and hearing by what the Word says. That's the translation. And if you lift the whole image, the whole subject up off the pages and it becomes part of you, gonna have faith. You're gonna have faith. Now I know what he wants now. There's someone here that you can't speak with tongues. You haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and received that gift yet. Can you imagine God formulating the perfect prayer for you and having you pray it out in tongues? And then having the other members of the Godhead answer it.
Why didn't he let me in on it when I was praying?
Because most of the time he likes to get you past something you can't believe for until you can believe for it. It's an edification process. Me and Mark Jenkins was talking about when we went full time. I woke up to a vision at dawn. I gave my 2-week notice after that vision. Had a little place down the street petitioned off that I'd go down and pray. And so I got up in the morning and went out and prayed in tongues. When at first it wasn't tongues, it was English, anything I could that had to endure the hours that I worked. So I thought, if I do this, I'll make it. I was ultra holiness. That meant no pants, ladies. Devil stirrups. I was holiness, boy. And I mean holiness. And that's when Earl Hitson came into my life, working at the mill where I worked, a big old logger. Chains on his back pocket. Big ox tied outside on a hitching post. Sometimes he'd pull that chainsaw out, a faller in Oregon, you know, and when nobody was looking, he'd comb his hair with it. He'd whip 3 guys at once in the bar before he got saved. That was Earl Hitson. Whew. He found out, and we got together in a prayer meeting, and the first prayer meeting we got together in, he taught on faith, Kenneth Hagin faith, and I, poor man. This thing, whew, I was a parent too. When he got done, that I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I am only moved what I believe, and the Word has the final say so in my life. And I'm going, after he leaves, I get up and make my statement. I don't think much of a religion you can't feel. I was a brilliance in decay. But I was praying in tongues, and he started praying with me. It wasn't long that I was transferring over to faith and bond edification. So that's when we got a call, because I hadn't been out of that place, locked up, and got a call to come down to the local church where they were having a gathering together, a prayer meeting. And I was so excited. I thought I would do anything to get out of this room. I come in, okay, you want me to come? Yes. Okay. They said, okay, sit down. And they set me next to this elderly lady, and I didn't see her come in on a cane. So I'm sitting next to her. You want something to drink? And I was trying to get off coffee, so I think I took tea. I said, I'll take some tea, I think. I remember shaking it anyway. And so he was getting ready to speak, the theologian. I was so excited I could just shake. He gets up.
We know that Jesus is the great celestial go-between, the troubled waters of mankind and the omnipotent God.
And I'm going, oh God, what did I get into? I was shaking my tea for excitement and watching it. Out of sheer boredom, I kept turning around and looking at the elderly lady sitting in the chair next to me. My first vision. I called it a ministering vision, word of knowledge vision. It informs you what they have. I become acquainted with it as the years went by. I'd just been in 3 months of praying. I glanced. All of a sudden, I seen something as large as a hip socket. It was all gray and messed up. And I'm going. I looked around and that held for a while because it was my first one. First phase, now they go. Anyway, it held for a while. I'm going. I looked around to see if anybody else maybe could see. I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? So I leaned over to the elderly lady and I says, do you have trouble in your socket, your hip socket, your leg?
Why, that's what the doctor tells me, sonny.
I go, glory to God. She goes,
I beg your pardon?
I says, oh, Can I pray for you? She says,
well, sure, Sonny.
To her, prayer meant, in the course of my day, bow my head and remember her, not to me. I jumped around in front of that woman, grabbed both her ankles and pulled them up. I looked down and one of them was 4 or 5 inches shorter than the other. And I'm going, oh no, okay. Pray my hardest prayer. I closed my eyes and I started praying. And I like to wrestle that poor lady off on the floor before I'd open my eyes. And the golden-tongued order sent his handyman over. He comes running over just in time to see the miracle. He gets there and he's going to break the commotion up. And he goes, you have... That struck him dumb. He was going, hum, hum, hum. I didn't want to say nothing, but I was struck as he was. I'm going... I wanted to stand up and say, she had a deteriorating leg, and I prayed for her. Pretty soon she got up and was running around the room, and they were trying to stop her and say, but God does, he...
Get out of my way, Sonny.
I made it out of that church and down the street a ways. I don't know what building it was. I don't think I got past the church, but I leaned up against the church and I broke out just weeping and weeping. I said, you know, since my holiness days, I saw miracles. If you excuse my expression, I'd have killed to have this. And you mean, Father God, you mean I get to have this the rest of my life? You mean there's a direct way into these things? Who did he send? The Comforter. And when he has come, he said, he'll guide you into all truth. That word is truth. Jesus said, he shall receive of mine and shew it to you. What's he going to receive that he has to show me? The standing he has with the Father. Jesus called it his glory. He turned around to you and I and he said, my glory I give unto you. What for? So you may know the Father loves you. Jesus said, you with the same love, same. He loved me. The same. I'm not going to be stopped. Hallelujah. I found out the highest call is a slave. So be it. So you're here and you can't speak with those tongues. Come up here. Come up.